The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
All right, welcome back to the second hour of today's National Intel Report. Top of the second hour, you tuned in live this Friday, April 23rd, 2021. And again, I am your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stadmiller, obviously. And again, I am the regular host of Road Warrior Radio here on Republic Broadcasting Network. And we're kind of off on a tangent. Now, I mentioned the first article that you see up on the rotator on republicbroadcasting.org right now, Oregon bill to ban livestock, stunning war on farming and ranching. And so I'm saying, you know, this is really nothing new in the way that we're being manipulated to create another monopoly, in this case, relating to food production and, again, control of people and so on. It's nothing new. And so, you know, Jacques Ellul is the guy who, you know, I think he's the quintessential. There are lots of quotes, you know, I mentioned from time to time on Road Warrior Radio. You know, we talk about Santayana's quote. People say, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it, but they don't realize what the background of that remark is. And in The Life of Reason, The Phases of Human Progress, The Phases of Human Progress, Volume 1, Reason and Common Sense, George Santayana wrote, "Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness." But what do we hear? We hear the opposite, don't we? We hear that change basically equals progress these days. Change for change's sake, which, by the way, if we want to dovetail into the scientific socialist bent of, you know, the Fabian caste and that thing that's been imposed on us for about the same amount of time that, you know, we're talking with this automobile discussion here that's kind of a tangent, you can go to Hayek's Road to Serfdom and see the same thing. You know, in Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, for example, Hayek talks about this is one of the ways that bad guys rise to the top in politics. It is then the man or the party who seems strong enough and resolute enough to get things done who exercises the greatest appeal. Strong in this sense means not merely a numerical majority. It is the ineffectiveness of parliamentary majorities with which people are dissatisfied. What they will seek is somebody with such solid support as to inspire confidence that he can carry out whatever he wants. Change for change's sake. Okay, Mr. Hayek, Mr. Smarty Pants, what happens next? Hayek writes, next sentence, it is here that the new type of party organized on military lines comes in. When Donald Trump was elected in 2016, I said it seems like this is now we're starting to see this come more out into view. And what happened after the last, you know, so-called election, weren't there troops in the streets in D.C.? And doesn't it seem like what Hayek is talking about, we're really starting to see come more out in plain view in America? It is here that the new type of party organized on military lines comes in, and we hear the propaganda that's addressed to these guys that is fashioned in that sort of way. You know, what are you going to do about these problems, Mr. So-and-so? How are you going to get things done? How are you going to... So anyway, George Santayana wrote, "Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness." That's the key, retentiveness. When change becomes absolute, when change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So, you know, from there, Jacques Ellul, because of the myth of progress, it is much easier to sell a man an electric razor than a straight-edged one. So we don't remember the past, we don't remember history, and therefore we're like little infants, says George Santayana and Cicero and on and on. So then we get the shiny, flashy progress, new and improved, new and improved, because of the myth of progress. It's much easier to sell a man an electric razor than a straight-edged one. So we have entries like this from a listener, Hybrid from 1916, the Owen Magnetic, Jay Leno's Garage. And the description reads, Sherlock Holmes described electricity as, quote, "the high priestess of false security," end quote. And that aptly describes the wonder of how this Owen Magnetic generates electricity using a gas engine. But this is not an isolated installment. There's Jay Leno's Baker Electric car, his 1909 Baker Electric, and there are many others. You can find this stuff on YouTube. And speaking of all of this, I mean, here's another one. Gosh TV, the world's first electric car, built in 1884. Here's another one. The History of Electric Vehicles, 1841. This is Worth No channel, Worth, K-N-O-W. 412 subscribers, wow. 1,921 views. No wonder people don't know about this. So from the description, not the entire description is very long, but the first paragraph. Initially, the range and speed for electric and gasoline vehicles were approximately the same. The main disadvantage of electric vehicles was the complex charging system. And then, you know, some folks know from like the documentary Tesla Master of Lightning, for example, the show that Edison put on because there was the battle between direct, you know, AC and DC alternating and direct current. And Edison said, you know, we need direct current. We'll have a power station on every corner with cables, you know, massive cables and everything. And Tesla said that was ridiculous. And so here we are today. There was the propaganda stunt of electrocuting an elephant as an example of how dangerous Tesla's idea was, but that was just a publicity stunt. Anyway, complex charging system. 1906, the description reads, a relatively easy-to-use rectifier was invented, but this did not significantly solve the problem of recharging. At the beginning of the century, electric freight vehicles and electric omnibuses were also widely used. That's pretty amazing. Most people don't know that. And then there's this entry, of course. Cold Fusion Channel, did you know the first cars were electric? This is interesting. Go ahead, please.
You are watching Cold Fusion TV.
Hi, welcome to another Cold Fusion video. Major technological change is happening all around the world. You can see it everywhere. But sometimes, when change happens, it's actually just history repeating. This is evident in the electric car. In 1900, about 40% of cars were electric, 38% ran on steam, and only 22% ran on gasoline. Now, as we approach the 2020s, we're rediscovering the electric car. So how could the electric car be so popular only to all but vanish by 1935? Why were most of the first cars electric, and what happened to them? In this video, we'll take a look.
That's a good question, and the details are not often disclosed. This is an interesting subject, actually, and you will find it can get sinister pretty quick. I know a guy who knew a guy. That sounds like one of those kinds of stories, but really, I know a guy who is a reputable person who had a friend who was working on a method to improve fuel economy. And he was up to around 70 miles per gallon, something that was just a little add-on you could add to just about any vehicle. And 70 miles per gallon was pretty easy. And he was invited to sell his device to a large petroleum conglomerate. And he said, no thanks. And he was pursued. And that turned into, hey, you know what? If you know what's good for you, you should sell this device. And he was not interested. And that individual is no longer with us. It's a very strange story. But, you know, that's the closest that I've seen in my own personal observation or experience. And, you know, there are other stories, obviously. But, you know, it seems that just maniacal sort of psychopathic bent for control is lurking just beyond the pale. And so you have that close to the discussion. Anyway, so how did this happen? You know, Tesla, it's an interesting I guess I'll say it like this. I mean, to make the story short, basically, you know, we don't realize how much at this point what we're seeing that looks shiny and new is really not new at all. So, I mean, I mentioned some stuff. Again, you know, if you're not familiar with, or even if you have seen it, go back and watch James Corbett's Big Oil series, part one and part two. How and why Big Oil conquered the world. We're into why now. Obviously, why is important. So, in Tesla's work, you know, he was hired by Westinghouse for a few things specifically when, and to paraphrase, you know, just to revisit history a little bit, Tesla was an interesting guy. When Westinghouse came and said, hey, Marconi invented the radio, Tesla essentially laughed, paraphrasing the story, saying, I think something to the effect that Marconi used at least a dozen of Tesla's patents to make the radio. So, Tesla was saying, you know, I've already done that, basically, and I'm moving on to, he was trying to store information and energy, which sounds very familiar these days. There's some correlation to things like HARP, for example, in that, you know, storing information in the ionosphere, that's the real cloud. But Tesla was the guy who said, You know, I think the quote is, ere many generations pass, our machinery will be driven by a power obtainable at any point in the universe. This idea is not novel. We find it in the delightful myth of Antheus, who derives power from the earth. We find it among subtle speculations of one of your splendid mathematicians. Throughout space, there is energy. And he said the first question is this energy static or kinetic? If it's static, our hopes are in vain. If kinetic, and this we know it is for certain, and I think he was kind of an authority on the subject, he said then it is a mere question of time when men will succeed in attaching their machinery to the very wheel work of nature. In other words, as you drive down the road, your car is recharging. So the illustration of, Back to the Future, using garbage to power the fusion reactor in the, I can't think of the car. The DeLorean. That, we essentially accomplished that 100 years ago. That was the coup to overthrow you growing fuel for your gas-powered vehicle in your backyard so that John D. could sell you the waste product from the oil well that's come to be known as gasoline. So Tesla says, the first question is this energy static or kinetic? If it's static, our hopes are in vain. If it's kinetic, and we know it is for certain, then it is a mere question of time when men will succeed in attaching their machinery to the very wheel work of nature. And so he's saying this, and Westinghouse is basically responding, look, dude, I don't want it if it doesn't have a meter attached to it. We can't, that doesn't work. It needs to have a meter attached to it. And so again, without getting too far afield even more, James Corbett's Big Oil series is good to understand how and why. And really, I would say to answer the question of why did electric vehicles disappear only to reemerge, and we're told just more lies. Oh, no, it's better for the environment. No, it's not. Alan Watt used to remind us of that on a regular basis. No, it's not. Wind farms are not better for the environment. And so on and so on and so on. These things cause all kinds of problems and, not to the exclusion of waste, and in some cases more waste than we're already producing. So that was what Tesla was saying. If you want to see real progress, then let's see the vehicles that do what Tesla surmised. Real progress would be we have arrived. The mere question of time has arrived when, as Tesla said, men will succeed in attaching their machinery to the very wheel work of nature. You drive down the road, and because you're passing through a field of kinetic energy, your car is recharging automatically. But then there's no meter that you can stick on that. So the Westinghouses of the world say, no, we can't use that. So that's why, as Jacques Ellul surmised, progress is this mythical thing that's used to sell people electric razors. It's easier, because of the myth of progress, it's much easier to sell a man an electric razor than a straight edge one. So, the automobile industry was driven largely by these monopolistic interests, the same way that the beef stuff is driven by the same monopolistic interests these days. But we have choices. We'll talk about that moment when we come back. Stick around. What goes up must come down.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome back. We have choices. We have choices. If you go to CorbettReport.com/Big Oil, you see the Big Oil series, How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World. You can't watch that on YouTube anymore. I don't know, maybe somebody has it mirrored, but you will see, nope, video unavailable. I wonder why. Why is that story not supposed to be told? It's very relevant, very fact-based, very well researched and cited. I wonder why. I muse rhetorically. So we have choices. Maybe you don't support the big tech platforms and stuff. Does anybody recall the Tectopus? That scandal, the wage-fixing scandal? Silicon Valley engages in. They tell the public one thing and they do another. No, stop it. That can't be true. There's no way. No way. Mm-hmm. All right, to the phones. Helen in Utah, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. A little incident happened the other day. I thought I'd like to share it. My daughter, I don't know where she was, in line or something, at a store. And a woman that she didn't know was there. They started talking. And the woman told her that the high school prom was making the kids be tested and wear masks. Brilliant. If they're tested to get in without the disease, why do they need the masks? Anyway, so then another woman came up and joined the conversation. They said, let's throw a prom for the kids. So this third woman knew somebody that owns a hall that she rents out. And she called her and she says, I'll loan it to you. So they had a real quick prom for the kids. Now, they weren't able to get it out soon enough. I mean, it was, you know, so, but they did have 40-some kids there. And I just thought, that's great. And I wish everybody would do something like that as they're going to schools with that kind of a stupid regulation. Do something. Have a prom or whatever. Yep. That put a smile on my face, and I thought it might put a smile on somebody else's. So
it does mine. Thank you for, sure, it does others as well.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks for sharing the story, Helen. I mean, we have choices. And it's funny, you know, how easily we get sucked into a dialectical malaise and really sort of target fixated, you know, pigeonholed ideas and things. Where is the old R&I, resourcefulness and ingenuity of days of old? And again, you know, because of the lure of progress and fancy, shiny, flashy things, people are kind of forgetting how to do things for themselves. And, you know, again, getting back to the food issue, we have choices. We have choices. And how often are we, you know, man, convenience is such a sinister and diabolical weapon at some level. You know, I've talked on Road Warrior Radio recently. I think I even mentioned it last time. I guest host of the National Intel Report, Rick Joyner's The Journey Begins, and he talks about convenience at one point in the book and how it's really kind of the devil's handmaiden to a certain extent. And what did we get throughout the 20th century, if not, you know, the push to create convenience for everything? And it's a funny thing, you know, where do you draw the line? Is there a point of diminishing return where, you know, you cross over into something that's not good? When you start thinking about, we're going to automate all of these, you know, mundane, trivial, meaningless tasks. Well, does that include brushing your teeth, tying your shoes, breathing? Where does it end? And that's a serious question. If you look at what technocrats are doing, it's a real question. Where do they draw the line? Because mankind is basically being obsoleted. We're going to automate all of these mundane, repetitive tasks. Okay, well, that's at a certain point, that's called life. Eating, sleeping, breathing, those are all mundane, repetitive tasks to some anyway. So, you know, where do you draw the line? And so we forget, you know, the more we lean into that and the mythical unicorn of progress, the more we forget how to do things and how to live, you know, for ourselves, so to speak. You know, how to do things for ourselves. And it's real easy to lose those things. We forget, you know, it takes one generation and then it's gone. So, we'll be right back.
While you were sleeping, they came and took it all away.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Guys and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ohio. and amazed. My childhood memories sort of swirl past like the wind through the trees. Hey, oh, where to go, Ohio?
Welcome back. All right, bottom of the second hour of today's National Intel Report. I want to give you a little excerpt of this. This is, you know, part of what I read, but there's broader excerpt. You know, maybe as, you know, by way of recall for some and for others to sort of maybe encourage you to watch this in its entirety over the weekend. I mean, the weekend's coming up. This would be a great thing for most people to watch. So, from James Corbett's part one, you know, the big oil series, part one, how big oil conquered the world, part two, of course, why. But, you know, speaking of electric vehicles, and this gets back to control, monopoly, which gets back to the article you can find on Republic Broadcasting right now, Oregon bill to ban livestock, stunning war on farming / ranching. What's the tie together? Well, Bill Gates admitted in the MIT Technology Review interview that I mentioned, it's cited by Christian over at Ice Age Farmer, who did the piece that you can find on Republic Broadcasting right now. Bill Gates is quoted as talking about all this stuff. There are a variety of ways. I mean, he's not bashful about this stuff. He's very, I would say, unscrupulous, very... You know, he is what Washington described as, George Washington described as, I would say, you know, one of the cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men that Washington described in his farewell address. Anyway, here is an excerpt from James Corbett's How Big Oil Conquered the World. Go ahead, please.
The Rothschilds and Nobels, the Dutch royal family, the Rockefellers. These early titans of the oil industry and their corporate shells pioneered a new model for amassing and expanding fortunes hitherto unheard of. They were the scions of a new oligarchy, one built around oil and its control, from wellhead to pump. But it was not just about money. The monopolization of this, the key energy resource of the 20th century, helped secure the oligarchs not just wealth, but power over the lives of billions. Billions who came to depend on black gold for the provision of just about every aspect of their daily lives. In the late 19th century, however, it was by no means certain that oil would become the key resource of the 20th century. As cheap illumination from the newly commercialized light bulb began to destroy the market for lamp oil, the oligarchs were on the verge of losing the value from their monopoly. But a series of lucky strikes was about to catapult their fortunes even further. The very next year after the commercial introduction of the light bulb, another invention came along to save the oil industry. German engineer Carl Benz patented a reliable two-stroke internal combustion engine. The engine ran on gasoline, another petroleum byproduct, and became the basis for the Benz Motorwagen that, in 1888, became the first commercially available automobile in history. And with that stroke of luck, the business that Rockefeller and the other oligarchs had spent decades consolidating was saved. But more luck was needed to ensure the market for this new engine. In the early days of the automobile era, it was by no means certain that gas-powered cars would come to dominate the market. Working models of electric vehicles had been around since the 1830s, and the first electric car was built in 1884. By 1897, there was a fleet of all-electric taxis shuttling passengers around London. The world land speed record was set by an electric car in 1898. By the dawn of the 20th century, electric cars accounted for 28% of the automobiles in the United States. The electrics had advantages over the internal combustion engine. They required no gear shifting or hand cranking, and had none of the vibration, smell, or noise associated with gasoline-powered cars. Lady Luck intervened again on January 10, 1901, when prospectors struck oil at Spindletop in East Texas. The gusher blew 100,000 barrels a day and set off the next great oil boom, providing cheap, plentiful oil to the American market and driving down gas prices. It wasn't long before the expensive, low-range electric engines were abandoned altogether, and big, loud, gas-guzzling engines came to dominate the road, all fueled by the black gold that Standard Oil, Shell, Gulf, Texaco, Anglo-Persian, and the other oil majors of the time were drilling, refining, and selling.
There you go.
Perhaps John D.'s greatest stroke of luck, however, was not supposed to be luck at all. Rockefeller had come under increasing scrutiny by a public outraged by the unprecedented wealth he had amassed through Standard Oil.
So,
muckraking reporters like Ida Tarbell began digging up the dirt on his rise to power through railroad conspiracies, secret deals with competitors, and other shady practices. The press pictured him as a colossus with bribed politicians literally in the palm of his hand. Standard Oil was a menacing octopus with its tentacles strangling the lifeblood of the nation. Hearings began.
Mm-hmm, definitely. All right, so through the electric, history lesson, and it's interesting, James says the electric cars had advantages over the internal combustion engine. They required no gear shifting or hand cranking and had none of the vibration, smell, or noise associated with gas-powered cars. Have you heard Tim Allen talk about his Tesla? He says it's a strange thing. It's kind of cool and kind of weird. I think he describes it as an iPod golf cart, I think is what he calls it, something like that. No moving parts, and it's weird, and he says it says things to him sometimes like, you're not authorized to get in this car right now, or something strange like that. So anyway, these things that and we could get into all of that too. The Jetson kind of stuff was not new in the 60s, let alone now. It might seem more crude in a bygone era, but these concepts and things, a lot of this stuff is really not new, certainly not the electric car, and certainly not monopoly and control over people. Of course, you think of the infamous alleged quote by Henry Kissinger controlling people, in the world. Food and oil is a means of controlling people in the world. So this idea of control is not new, and that's really kind of what's at the heart of the sales pitch. No, this is good. It's going to taste fantastic. No, it's really not about tasting fantastic or saving the planet or doing something good or doing away with cow flatulence, bovine flatulence. These are not real issues. These are part of the sales pitch, and you get to select from a smorgasbord of Bernaysian sales pitches in the engineering of consent. And it's all very orchestrated. Walter Lippmann talked about the bewildered herd. And again, that's one of the reasons that you use these confusing, especially remember going through last year, we talked on this network a lot about how there were so many contradictory messages coming out. And, to Helen's call, I would imagine that what was being arranged, children having to wear a mask to come into the dance, like some of the places that you've seen, no doubt you've been to places where you are required to wear a mask on entry or to enter, but then upon entry, it's not required, or at least maybe not when you're up walking around or vice versa, which is very strange. It's a mixed message. And that's one of the techniques of torture, by the way, that we've also discussed on this network. When you confuse people like that, it's one of the ways that you get them to surrender or you weaken their resistance, these contradictory messages, especially when they're coming from a very authoritative or allegedly authoritative source. So, you basically what you do when you do that is you create the bewildered herd Walter Lippmann talked about, and then you introduce a few fake pseudo choices. Bernaysian, what do you mean? Are you kidding? No. Speaking of this era that James Corbett was just talking about, the turn of the 20th century, that was Edward Bernays, after he had already been at this for decades and, been hired by the federal government, the military, and so forth had helped give us slogans like freedom and democracy to sell us the unprecedented concept of a world war. He wrote a book titled Propaganda. In the opening words of the book, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. What? Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. And then he was even more articulate. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we've never heard of. Wow. And, you know, he was one of the guys that told us very candidly about the illusion of choice. So you create the bewildered herd, then you introduce the illusion of choice, and voila, you have you maintain monopoly. And guys like Bill Gates are very, I don't know, he really seems to have a very advanced case of duper's delight. I think he really enjoys disclosing this kind of thing to an extent that those of us who are paying attention realize and really kind of deepens the Stockholm syndrome for the rest, because they just can't believe it's possible that somebody might be that sinister, that they would do something that nefarious and then openly boast about it. Well, yes, Virginia, sometimes that happens. And for those who doubt that, I mean, I would offer, I don't know, any number of talks that he's given, you know, the TED Talks as you know, exhibits, or what about millions could die from bioterrorism. You listen to that and you go, wait a minute, that's kind of crazy. Maybe we'll play that real quick. That's another fun one. What he's saying, that sounds a lot like what we've experienced recently, only he's not. Maybe we can cue that up. And above all, I would say one of the most astonishing recent entries, you know, back when he gave that 2015 TED Talk, we're not ready. He also posted on his blog, gatesnotes.com. You can still find this post. It's titled A Guide to Number Games. You know that book that he's regularly pictured with, Daryl Huff's How to Lie with Statistics? When he has that pile of books, Daryl Huff's How to Lie with Statistics is often pictured at the top of that stack of books. He wrote a post about it the same week that he gave that 2015 TED Talk. How to Lie with Statistics is a great introduction to a crucial topic. One chapter shows you how visuals can be used to exaggerate trends and give distorted comparisons. Really? Who would want to do that? That's dishonest, Bill. So here is, speaking of this kind of stuff, here is the AP archive video on YouTube. It's the Associated Press video. This is not Conspiracy Central. This is Bill Gates at the 2017 Munich Security Conference. The video is titled Gates, Millions Could Die from Bioterrorism. Listen and see if this sounds kind of familiar. Go ahead, please.
Bugs, big bombs. Please welcome Mr. Bill Gates.
We also face a new threat that the next epidemic has a good chance of originating on a computer screen of a terrorist intent on using genetic engineering to create a synthetic version of the smallpox virus or a contagious and highly deadly strain of flu. So the point is that we ignore the strong link between health security and international security at our peril. Whether it occurs by the quirk of nature or at the hand of a terrorist, epidemiologists show through their models that a respiratory spread pathogen would kill more than 30 million people in less than a year. And there is a reasonable probability of that taking place in the years ahead. This is also where we see many epidemics starting. For example, Ebola.
Now, exactly how do you know that, Mr. College Dropout, Bill Gates? Not an epidemiologist. What are you doing here at the Munich Security Conference talking about pandemics, Mr. Software Stealer. I mean, developer. It's a very strange thing. I think that, you know, to me, that would be, I would say that constitutes evidence to investigate Bill Gates. But then we, you know, we don't do those things, right? Because if we really investigated where there's smoke, there might be fire, then well, you know, Rick Allen Jones would be a story that we would revisit, and we would, you know, maybe the lies he told about Jeffrey Epstein we would reinvestigate, or so on and so on. You know, your pals with Jeffrey Epstein, you lied and said that you were looking for money when you gave him money. And Rick Allen Jones, your houseboy, has a bunch of pornography. Stick around, we'll be right back.
To introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, final segment of today's National Intel Report. This is Friday, April 23rd, 2021. You know, speaking of Bill Gates, just to get to the point of all of this, you know, we have choices, and it is amazing, you know, that anybody listens to this guy. I mean, remember when Jeffrey Epstein was kind of, public enemy number one, maybe you might say, The Verge. Bill Gates had a closer relationship with Jeffrey Epstein than he admitted. New York Times. Bill Gates met with Jeffrey Epstein many times despite his past. The Observer, Bill Gates now has his own Jeffrey Epstein problem. I mean, the list of these articles goes on and on. There's the New York Post, obviously, many others. It was, you know, the Daily Beast article, Bill Gates praised pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, kind of intriguing. Bill Gates virtually created this new incarnation of the vaccine industry. And then he boasted at the January 2019 Davos summit to Becky Quick, you know, on MSNBC Squawk Box, that my best investment ever was vaccines, basically. And he turned $10 billion in his decade of vaccines into $200 billion. He was bragging about that. And so, you know, the point is, I guess, you know, Jacob Silverman wrote an article on over the New Republic earlier this year titled Leon Black and the American Tradition of Impunity. The private equity billionaire pressured into retirement this week gave $158 million to sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Why doesn't it matter more? And that's the question that he asks and then answers toward the end of the article. But we could ask that of this kind of stuff. When Bill Gates speaks, why are we not curious about these oddities? You know, Rick Allen Jones, Jeffrey Epstein, all of the impropriety that he's engaged in over the years. Remember when he was under the microscope for, you know, antitrust violation and monopolistic practices? He's doing those things now. But he's bought the megaphone of public opinion. And so I guess the bottom line is we have choices. We have choices. Yeah. All right, I guess we'll do this real quick. If we have Tom, go ahead, Tom. Real quick. We're out of time, but
you and I both are ranchers. How many animals does it take to spook an entire herd?
Well, how many animals? I mean, it basically one.
One. We are going through that, aren't we? We have.
And that's my point about the bewildered herd, absolutely. Yep.
And we have been stampeded. Anyway, yep. That's my thought.
Appreciate it, Tom. Much appreciated, as always. Absolutely. So, you know, again, back to the conflict. And the choices. We have choices. We still have a few choices in America. And hopefully we choose wisely. We actually investigate for ourselves. And again, conflict for conflict's sake is probably to our detriment. That'll do it for today's National Intel Report. I hope that it was informative. I appreciate the opportunity to sit in, so thank you. And I hope you have a great weekend.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.